This is Tea Earl Grey Heart, an unofficial Star Trek fan podcast from the Other Side Podcast Network. Dax. Hello and welcome to episode 80 of Tea Earl Grey Heart, an unofficial Star Trek fan podcast from the Other Side Podcast Network. My name is Dave and I am joined this time around, as every time, well, almost every time, by someone who has committed neither murder nor treason, nor is he a traitor to his people, as far as I'm aware. It's my good friend Yannick. Hi, Yannick.
Hi. Yes, as far as I'm aware too. I can't make any, you know, promises, but as far as I know, I haven't committed any of those.
I'd like to think you would know if you had.
Yes. Hopefully I would, but you never know, you know?
At the risk of oversimplifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed. And we're also joined by our most prolific serial repeat return visiting temporal guest host, who, since the last time he joined us to review the first episode of Discovery, Season 3, back in October, has since released the 1,000th episode of his music podcast. Yeah. It's Ro. Hi, Ro. Congratulations.
Hi, everybody.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
1,000 episodes. My God.
That's a lot of episodes.
Well, we're now in the tens, you know.
Yeah.
I think 1,017 came out last week. So, I mean, it's,
wow,
you know, going great guns.
Well done.
Enjoying it.
Well done.
Yeah. That is quite
still
an achievement.
Enjoying it, and that's the important thing, I guess.
Indeed.
It is. We'll put a link in the show notes for your podcast.
Yeah, as we always do. It's
yes, every time.
I mean, we're only 2/3 of the way there with the bug cast.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Well, we'll never catch you up.
Unless I stop for 3 years or something.
That probably won't happen.
But that's really the equivalent of pod fading, though, isn't it? If you just stop for 3 years, that's faded, and I can't have that.
657. You're 7 years ahead of us.
Well, you can release an episode a day, Dave, and that's going to catch up pretty fast.
Yeah, do it. 2 or 3 years, maybe. Yeah, it's not going to happen either, are they?
So 3 years of daily podcast and 47 years of Tea Earl Grey Heart. And
yes.
Well, you've got a bright future in front of you.
A busy future, that's for certain. Anywho, on this episode, we are going to be reviewing Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Season 1, Episode 8, Dax. And then, as always, when we have a guest, we'll have a chat to Ro and, see what we thought of the episode. And I know that you are quite a fan of Deep Space Nine, aren't you, Ro?
Yes, I am. I'm even donning the Quark's Bar hoodie.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there'll be a photo of it in the blog when... So I have been to Bajor. I have been to DS9. And I've picked up some merch.
Excellent. Excellent. I haven't spotted a merchandising stand on DS9. Have they just like kind of hidden it behind Quark's or something?
Yeah, it's a bit of a sort of a backhander thing that Quark does in his bar. Yeah, definitely.
Right, right. I wasn't sure if it was like one of Odo's sidelines.
It's great. So I got this for my birthday, actually, back in April. So
nice.
Nice.
Well, because you knew you were coming to guest this episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I made sure it was nicely I was made sure it was clean and ready for the show.
Nice, nice. I'm still wearing my traditional...
You don't want a spill of Romulan synth ale down the bottom of it or anything.
No, you don't. No.
No, I don't.
No. Nope. Tinged with blue. Right, so if we're all ready, we'll crack on with our review of Dax. So in the teaser, Chief Miles O'Brien accompanies his wife Keiko to Earth to visit her mother for her 100th birthday. Her mother's, that is, not Keiko's. During his absence, Jadzia Dax and Julian Bashir are studying the required repair work. When Dax decides to call it a night, Bashir offers to accompany her to her quarters, and she politely refuses. As she walks down the corridor, three hooded figures approach her. One of them, Elon Tandro, asks her to confirm that she is indeed Dax, after which the two others knock her out and carry her across the corridor. They remove her comm badge as she tries to tap it to call for help. But just then, Bashir, having decided to accompany Dax back anyway, arrives and tries to rescue her, but he is unsuccessful and is knocked out as well.
So, why didn't she call first and then go to save her? Instead of just getting in there and getting knocked out.
I don't know, but you stood there like a Muppet for a while and just like,
yeah,
what's going on?
Yeah, no shouting, no going ahead. What happened to Jadzia's Klingon training as well?
Yeah.
I mean, she's...
It conveniently disappeared.
Yeah.
Ah,
there was a couple of
shout.
Back fists and, you know, gut punches and things, but other than that, you know, it was quite an ill organized fight, really, if you know what I mean. It was like almost as if she was willing to get caught.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she already recognized them and knew what was going to happen.
That's entirely probable, knowing what we find out later on. That she may have known who he was. I did notice she went for her comm badge, and it was removed from her uniform before she had a chance to use it. But well, I know we've had this conversation before about fail-safes on the comm badges, that if it gets removed without authorization, for want of a better phrase, then you would think that would set off a beacon or an alert somewhere to say this comm badge has been unexpectedly removed from its rightful place. Maybe there's a problem somewhere.
There has been cases in Next Generation and DS9 where people have used other people's comm badges for communication. Whether they're on or off their body. I mean, it's not...
No, and that's why I'm saying there needs to be some form of fail-safe, because they remove their comm badges at night before they prepare to go to bed. They obviously have multiple uniforms, but probably only one comm badge. So there has to be, like, you know, maybe a combination of taps or a phrase that they say that says, okay, what I'm about to do to remove the comm badge is perfectly valid. But for somebody to just come along and take it off her, that's... I'm just surprised there's nothing in place to prevent that from happening, or if it does happen, that some kind of message goes out. Just seems a bit daft.
Yeah. I don't know if there's an instance of that. I don't remember any instance of things like that. The comm badge is just some device equipment that you can move and...
But also...
Yeah, that could be great, but yeah.
But they would have had to touch the comm badge to remove it, so is that not the same as a tap?
Technicality.
Yeah,
tomato.
Yes. Okay, so straight into Act 1 then. While Commander Sisko and Major Kira investigate an odd residual charge of the Graviton generator in Ops, Bashir regains consciousness and reports the attempted kidnapping. Sisko immediately calls a full station alert, and they attempt to contain them by securing turbolifts and airlocks, noting that they need one of the faster ships. The kidnappers manage to escape by avoiding Odo's security system, hatches and force fields, and disabling the tractor beam, the cause of the earlier residual charge. However, Sisko gets it back online just in time to tow the ship back to the station.
Yeah, go Sisko.
I was looking at this, and I always thought the runabouts were quite quick, but reading up on it, and this was in Memory Alpha, the runabouts in Season 1 only ran to warp 5. They didn't get any faster. So they're sort of saying, oh yeah, there's probably going to be a ship that can run faster than our runabouts. Seems quite valid, but I always thought the runabouts could go faster than warp 5. Well, I'm sure in later seasons they probably do.
Yeah.
But, you know, warp 5 doesn't sound very fast anymore, does it? Especially sort of after Enterprise and, you know, Voyager, you could go 9.995, well, I think.
They broke the warp 10 barrier with one of the shuttlecraft, or I don't know if it was a runabout or shuttlecraft.
We don't talk about that.
Monica says that DS9 has no clue if their chief medical officer and chief security officer are doing engineering stuff while Miles is gone. That's true, because while Jadzia has been kidnapped and Bashir is knocked unconscious, nobody thinks to wonder where they are. So, well, they're doing stuff.
Well, they're doing maintenance stuff, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just fixing stuff somewhere. I'm not worried about where they are.
Yeah.
And a point of order. She's not chief of engineering. She's chief of science.
Yeah, it's chief of science, sorry.
Yeah.
Chief of science. Yeah, well. Yes, that's true, Algiers. We forgot the main ingredient there, the plot of the episode. They had to be there for the episode. True.
Yeah, we get caught by that one a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
If it didn't happen this way, we wouldn't have an episode to talk about.
Mm. Of course.
So my question is what is a level 3 diagnostic? And why did it not detect what was going on with the
because
thing? And the abductors...
They needed the level 4 diagnostics, that's why.
And the abductors knew their way around the base quite well, didn't they?
They had
some devices to help them disable stuff and things like that.
Yeah, the overrides.
Of the force fields,
yeah. The force fields and the hatch as well. Yeah,
hatches.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think they try and answer that one later, but I'm not sure that's a valid answer.
It was all speculation.
Yeah. We get an answer later on as to why they may have all of that information.
Yes.
But I don't believe it.
Really? We have a recurring actor here as well. Gregory Itzin plays the main Tandro character in this. He was also in TNG as well. And I haven't written down what character he played in TNG. He was also in TNG as well.
According to the notes that I've got, Gregory Itzin, this is his first appearance, so he hasn't appeared in TNG yet.
Really?
Yeah.
But I recognized him.
Mm. But you've seen all of Star Trek, so.
Yes. Maybe I've seen him in something else.
Maybe.
I think I've seen him in some kind of militaristic thing. Maybe Stargate? Maybe he's in Stargate.
Maybe, yes.
I don't know. I'd have to dig him out in IMDb to confirm that. I did a bit more investigation of the other two new characters in this. Well, three, actually. That come up later.
Cool. I've got revelatory note about one of the actresses that appear in this, because I recognised who she was by her voice before I even saw her. Act 2, that one.
All right.
When the kidnappers emerge from the airlock, Elon Tandro identifies himself and claims that he has a valid warrant for Dax's arrest. The charges are treason and murder of his father, Ardalon Tandro.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And she knew exactly who that was.
Of course she did, yes.
You could see it in her face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she knew exactly.
Like her nose.
But was there any recognition that she knew Elon Tandro was before the charges of treason were mentioned?
No, but the Cholestrons are quite distinctive in their sort of look. So I'm sure she recognised that they were from Cholestron 4.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nope, fair enough. Okay, on to Act 2. We're actually getting through this a lot quicker than I expected, but I would imagine there'll be lots of conversational pieces as we go through. In order to stall for time, Sisko sends a message to Cholestron 4 to confirm the warrant. Odo confirms the nature of the warrant and that the crime was committed 30 years ago. Realising that it must have been Curzon Dax, Sisko is confused that he never mentioned being on that planet. Sisko maintains that Curzon Dax could not be capable of treason, let alone murder. They were the best of friends. He knew the man. But, as Odo challenged, he may have known the man, but did he know the symbiont inside the man?
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because, on one hand, there's this joint being, and the memories, the past lives of the symbiont are incorporated in the host, so it's not really two different person, and yet it is because we know that there's the symbiont and the host, so. Yeah, did he actually know Curzon or Dax? I think it's the same as we say, you can't always know someone 100%. You know, mm-hmm. that even if you know someone, you think you know someone very well, maybe there's something they're hiding. It's kind of the same. It's not necessary. You don't need to have a slug in your belly for that.
No, I mean everybody's got things that. They tell nobody. They just keep them to themselves and things like that. And I'm sure, you know, seven lifetimes of experiences.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things that, you know, even not just Curzon's life, but the other six before that, I'm sure there's stuff which has been buried deep in the symbiont's mind that would never, ever come out again.
Right, but
it's understandable.
I've never said to anybody that I'm using Adamantana Linux, for example.
Well, nobody will ever know. It's not like we're doing an internet radio show or anything.
No.
But it does raise the question of the burden that is placed on all of the Trill hosts as the symbiont is transferred from person to person. That if Curzon Dax did commit this murder or commit this treason, and at this point in the story, we do not know whether that is true or not, then Jadzia would have known.
Yeah.
And having to carry the burden, potentially, her entire host life, that Curzon may or may not have committed this murder and this treason, that's going to be weighing heavy on her.
I'm not entirely sure whether Jadzia would be able to recall back everything that's happened in... I mean, she's the eighth host or ninth host. I can't remember.
No, I'm not sure.
Something, around.
Whether or not she'd be able to recall a whole of eight lifetimes worth of memories and things. Remember, that's all in the symbiont. So, yes. I mean, if the symbiont itself chose to suppress it, then Jadzia would be able to get hold of. Remember, they are two separate.
Yeah.
It's a symbiotic relationship. They're two separate entities. Yeah. They're not conjoined by the brain or anything like that. You know, so.
Yeah. Hello, Nate. Welcome to the show. Nate has just joined YouTube live chat.
Alongside Monica and Ajaz.
And Lainey.
And Lainey, of course, yes. Lainey's always there. She's our communications officer. She has to be there. And I think we did actually, in the previous incarnation of the YouTube feed, we also had Chris temporarily.
In the other one.
The one we don't talk about.
We're going to forget for tonight. Yes, okay. Monica says that the symbiont and the host have some kind of neurological link. She thinks it doesn't help that Star Trek has changed up the trail and isn't always consistent. Yeah, well, they have a tendency to do that. I'm looking at you, Klingons.
Yes. Klingons with lens flare.
Well, even the original series Klingons, you know, they did change that for...
Was it the original series ones that had smooth heads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were humanoid-like, little brownish, and some smooth head. Yeah.
Did they not write an episode of Enterprise to explain the reason why they had smooth heads in the original series?
Yes. And also there's an episode of DS9 where they go back in time on the space station. I think it's on the space station. And they see the original series Klingons because they have used original footage. And
More Trouble with Tribbles. That's a great episode.
Yes, this one. And then the crew sees the other Klingons and turn to Worf and say, "Worf, what happened?" And he says, "That's something we're not talking about."
No, but yeah, there is a whole thing about eugenics and things like that, isn't there, in Enterprise that explains it all.
Yeah. But they still haven't explained of the Klingons.
But that Trills have changed as well. The first time we saw Trills in TNG, they had sort of like heavier foreheads but no spots. And it wasn't until we meet Jadzia that the spots were... You know, the markings of a trill rather than the foreheads. So,
and that stayed consistent after that.
Yes, they kept that consistent throughout, even into Picard.
Yeah. Monica said they made them pretty because they got Terry Farrell.
Very true.
Sure.
Very true.
That helps.
Confined to her quarters, Jadzia refuses to reveal anything about the incident to Sisko, and blatantly says that she does not expect help. He questions whether their friendship means anything to her, and suggests that perhaps his 20-year friendship with Curzon Dax did not transfer to Jadzia. She assures him that he is still her very dear friend.
Yeah, complex subject, as we said.
Yeah, very. In Sisko's office, Tandro wishes to be on his way now that the warrant has been confirmed. However, Sisko refuses, claiming that while the Klaestrons have an extradition treaty with the Federation, Deep Space Nine is a Bajoran station, and they have no such treaty with Bajor. Moreover...
Yeah, that's convenient.
Yeah.
He plays that card. Sisko plays that card whenever he wants to. Sometimes he refers to Deep Space Nine as being under Federation authority, and sometimes under Bajoran authority.
It's whatever suits the outcome.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. But when I get my Swiss passport, I will play with both.
And because it's Bajor that has jurisdiction on DS9, that's the reason why it's 26 hours.
Yep.
It's 26 hours because of the 26-hour day at Bajor. Mm-hmm. So it's because it's under Bajoran control. That's it. I remember you've been discussing it in previous shows. So,
Elon knew very well that the Bajorans would object to any request for extradition, which is why he tried to kidnap Tax. He blandly says that there are no Bajoran interests concerned, but Major Kira speaks up and says that since Klestron 4 is allied with the Cardassians, Elon must have obtained the station's security codes from them, which not only compromises Bajoran security, but also annoys us, she says.
Yeah, always, you know, diplomat and very subtle in her remarks.
Yeah, and it works.
Yeah.
Caught between Sisko and Kira, Elon has no choice but to agree to an extradition hearing before Dax can be lawfully released. Ah, have it.
Yeah, well played. Well played.
Very much so. It's quite good having Kira there as a Bajoran and Sisko there as a very, very quick-thinking, devious, intelligent man. they actually work really, really well together. To say how conflicted they've been so far in the series, they've had a few fairly major, no pun intended, run-ins. And yet, you can see how well they work together, how well they kind of think along the same lines. It's a good partnership.
The runnings were necessary to establish that, I think, you know, to confront them and to, for Sisko to say, I'm the boss now, but we can still work together.
Yeah.
You're a clever woman, and you are very intelligent and quick thinking, and I am too, but I'm the boss. Now that we have established that, let's work together.
I think it was in this scene that Sisko introduced Kira as his first officer, which, although factually correct, mm-hmm. would have been a really good thing for Kira, because it's nice to have that level of authority acknowledged.
But she's not Starfleet. She cannot be.
She's not Starfleet. She can't be first officer.
She's not. That's why I said technically. She's not Starfleet, but she is second in command of the station.
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah.
But, yeah.
First officer, it's not a ship, it's a station, so it's not the same thing anyway, even by that measure. Yeah. Odo blackmails Quark into lending his bar for the hearing over the fact that it's not up to current building codes from the Bajoran Provisional Government. Now, how much of that was flannel? It seemed like all of it was.
All of it.
It was.
I'm sure of it.
It was all BS.
It was so well put together.
Yes.
It was really, really good. And when you think about how intelligent Quark is, I am really surprised that he actually believed everything that he was told.
Well, what I think is that he's a quick thinker, too, and he probably thought, okay, I'm going to let that one pass, and then I can ask a favor from him in return.
You think?
Yeah.
You think he was double bluffing the deviant?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't mean deviant. That wasn't the word I meant. Double deviant. What was it?
Yeah, okay. Odo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that double bluffing, but double deviousness. Whatever. Edit that out.
It's not like that Quark had a choice anyway.
No, true.
So I would have thought that Quark would have already looked up the regulations and have distorted them to his own sort of own needs. So he could have, it could have all backfired if Quark said, oh no, but in. And got his pad out and went, you know, I'm allowed that extra 6 inches because of, you know, extra portly people in the bar or whatever.
But
hang on. He wouldn't have built that place himself.
No, that was built by the Kardashian.
Exactly. So if it's not up to code, then that's down to the original construction of the promenade, not to do with...
Technically, it has been constructed by Bergerons under the quote-unquote supervision
of the Kardashians. Yes.
The Kardashians, yeah, not the Kardashians.
I'm sure Quark has taken more than his fair share of little stores next to his bar to expand his bar.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he's done that during the occupancy and, you know, all that kind of thing. And when, you know, the station was in disarray, I'm sure he said, yeah, I'll just, you know, take this shop here and then, you know, build an extra bit.
The wall just fell.
Fell down. I'll make it good, and then pulls a load of bloody tables in there. You know, I'm sure that happened.
Now it's down,
but there never was a wall there, right?
Yeah, right.
There was never a wall there. You must be imagining it.
Prove it.
He probably sold the wall.
He probably adjusted the blueprints as well. So I mean, it looked like
that
would not surprise me.
Mm. I love Quark. He's
got Rom to do it for him. Sisko catches up with Odo in the promenade, saying that he isn't happy with Dax being transferred to Bajor for the hearing. Odo tells him that Quark has donated his facility for the hearing. Sisko hints that someone should go to Klestron 4 to find out more about the case. Odo says that the hearing will be quick due to the age of the case, but Sisko hopes that it might take a little bit longer than that.
Yeah, he wants to save his friend.
Of course he does. Of course he does. He wants time to find out what on earth he can do to help save her.
It can't be that far away either if, you know, in a matter of hours, Odo is... on Klestron, interviewing people and doing that later on in the act.
Which begs the question, what the heck was Curzon Dax doing in the area when we know that Sisko never was there before?
Wasn't he the Federation liaison to Klestron at the time?
Maybe.
He was there during the Civil War. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. I think they say that later on in the episode, but I forgot.
They mentioned when he was there. I don't think it says why he was there.
Why? Yeah. Well, we know why, but the official reason.
Well, we know one of the reasons why he was there, certainly.
Yeah.
Arbiter Els Renora opens the hearing in Quark's with a very strict, no-nonsense call to order. Elon simply restates the warrant, but Sisko's first argument is that Jadzia Dax is not the person named in the warrant. Curzon Dax should be charged, and he is dead. Renora agrees that Tundro must prove that Jadzia Dax and Curzon Dax are the same person. Sisko is pleased with himself, but Jadzia doesn't seem to return his look.
Yeah, but since this thing started, she looks like she doesn't want it. She said so. She doesn't want any help, and she just she would accept anything from the verdict. Well, it's not a trial, but
no. But she's shown no outward emotion about this at all, and you would think that if she knew. And this goes back to the question about whether the symbiont would have allowed her to know. If she knew what the truth was, then she either would come out in defense of herself because she knew it wasn't true, or if she did know it was true, then, I don't know, maybe she would have...
No, we don't know yet, but we know that she's doing this out of purely honorable reasons.
Yeah. She's covering for someone.
Well,
spoil again, a 20-year-old episode, but...
No, but again, like you say, we don't know this yet.
No, we don't know.
But given the symbiotic relationship of the Trill and the symbiont within the Trill, I wonder if it is possible that Jadzia could have asked the symbiont what happened then, and then whether the symbiont would be obliged to tell her.
But she knew already when Ilan said why he was there. He said it was for the murder of his father. She knew. As we said, we could see it on her face. So just by hearing the name, she already knew. So my guess is that she always knew.
You know, she didn't have to.
And then it was purely because of what we find out later on is the reason why she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That does make sense. So yeah, this is where my hearing went off on a complete tangent, because the moment that Elsrinora started talking, I knew I had heard her somewhere before. And then the moment I saw her, I realised where it was. Now, I'm sure everybody is familiar with the film Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that yes or no? Sorry, Yannick.
I've heard of the movie.
But you've never seen it. All right. Yeah. So she's in it as the court liaison officer that's been assigned to Robin Williams' character. And she absolutely hilarious character. Very, very straight down the middle, quite prim court official. But yeah, it's just the voice is just so so distinctive.
Definitely, yeah. Mm. And of course she has played another character in TNG as well. There was an episode where
The Survivors,
season 3,
yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, she and her husband are the only two survivors of a planetary destruction. The only thing left is literally their house and a patch of land around it.
Yeah. Hello, dog.
I'm sure they do this deliberately, you know.
We have another guest.
Yes. It's Rose Dog.
And so yeah, and she's in there as the wife.
Yeah, I remember this episode. Yes,
It's a very odd episode.
Yeah,
yeah. Yannick, Lainey is asking, how have you not seen Mrs. Doubtfire?
Well, I've seen the posters. I've heard stuff about the movie. But I've never sat in front of a TV or monitor while the movie was running.
Oh, I think that is your homework for the next recording.
Okay.
Then we'll review Mrs. Doubtfire. No, seriously, put it on your watch list. It is such a good film. Very, very clever.
Is it on one of the popular streaming services?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. May have noticed it on Netflix as we were scrolling through it, but I'm sure you'll find it somewhere. Okay, Act 3. We're not quite halfway through the episode at this point. I think Act 5 was quite longer than the rest of them, so we're probably about just over a third of the way through the episode. Sisko orders Bashir and Kira to get to work on gathering evidence that Jadzia and Curzon are different people, medical evidence and judicial precedents, respectively. In the meantime, Sisko has sent Odo to Clustron 4 to investigate the evidence on the ground. It appears that the General and Curzon were friends, an odd situation for treason. By speaking with Elon's mother, Enina Chandro, Odo discovers that Curzon Dax was likely not responsible for Ardalon Tandro's death. The charges are based on the fact that during the Civil War, a coded message informed the opposing side of his father's location. Of all the people who knew the location, Curzon was the only one without an alibi. Anina tells him... Right.
That doesn't sound too good for Curzon.
It doesn't. But also, why would she tell that? Anina tells him that Elon has become obsessed with finding the one who betrayed his father and will not be satisfied until someone is punished. Tandro's murder inspired his people to victory, and he has since become a worldwide hero. However, Inina is adamant that Curzon did not betray her husband. Unfortunately, her son won't listen to her. Inina asks
her... How does she know that?
Well, we may find that out later on. But
yes, we will.
Maybe she knows something right now, that we don't.
Yeah, but I was... I remember the first time I watched the episode, I was like, I think I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
She's a familiar actress as well. She's been, this is Fionnuala Flanagan. And yeah. She played Data's mother in Inheritance in a season 6 episode, I think. She played Ambassador Valar in Enterprise as well. So she's been in 3 of the franchises. Of course, she was also in Lost as well. And she was a character in Lost. And she was most recently in American Gods as well. Not entirely sure. I've only watched that. I started watching American Gods. I mean, I do like Neil Gaiman, but I just can't get my head around the TV adaptation of it yet. But she's quite a well-known, well-rounded actress in Star Trek.
Nice.
Yeah, actors and actresses tend to bounce around the series, as we are well-discovering. Well, one of the things I do like about the way that Memory Alpha details the actors that play characters within Star Trek is that when they reference other works they've been in, so other non-Star Trek stuff they've been in, they also tell you which of the other Star Trek people that they may or may not have worked with directly also appeared in that other work. Does that make sense?
Nice. Yeah.
Yes, and I've got something to discuss about that at the end of the show.
Ooh,
actually.
All right. Oh, okay.
Ooh,
excellent. Okay. Look forward to that. Inina also asks Odo how Curzon is, clearly not knowing that he had died 2 years prior. She appears distraught by the news that he has gone. Ooh. Starting to fit together.
Exactly.
Back on Deep Space Nine, the hearing continues, and Dax's fate is still uncertain. But thanks to the testimony of another Trill, Celine Piers, about the nature of the relationship between the symbiont and the host, Sisko is able to establish that Jadzia and Curzon Dax are distinct entities. But Elon argues that failure to punish Trill symbionts for acts committed in past lifetimes would create a perfect crime. The debate becomes heated and Renora demands a recess. Curiously, Jadzia seems complacent about the entire situation.
Yeah. It's consistent.
Indeed.
Yeah. They had a witness, a species characterization witness or whatever you want to call it, called Celine Piers, who is the other Trill.
Yeah,
and he explained that he had 7 lifetimes and all this kind of stuff. And he's another actor that's been in Star Trek as well. He played Romas as the drug addict who was transferring Felicium from one planet to another. He was one of the guys in that.
Ironically.
That's it. That's the episode. And he was a Zindi as well, the first Zindi that we meet in Enterprise in the episode The Zindi. He's the guy who was the in the sort of like the mines and things like that. He actually played that character as well, which was called Kizik. So, yeah, again, you know, recurring actors taking on, you know, certainly different different species, different roles. Species, yeah.
Lenny says, wasn't there an issue in Discovery with Tal not being able to access the thrill memories from previous hosts? But that's because they were human and not thrill. And there was no proper preparation.
Yeah,
that was the reason why they had problems with the symbiont and accessing its memories.
Very good point. That one.
Wasn't Tal the very first human Trill joining?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. No.
Because Riker was the first one, didn't he?
And he had we said that when we reviewed that episode. We said, "Oh, it's the first time," and then we remember that no, it was not.
Mm. Yeah.
Riker was a temporary host.
Yes. Because doesn't the symbiont have to be in place for a certain amount of time for the bond to be irreversible?
Yeah, it's 8 hours, 24 hours, something like that.
Yeah, but it's not irreversible because, well, yeah, I guess when the host, no, because in was it in the pilot or in one of the earlier episodes, we saw the transfer of Dax from Curzon to Jadzia.
Yep.
And Curzon was not dead yet.
No, so but he was dying, so the symbiont, I suppose, had to disconnect from Curzon to enable the transfer.
Probably.
Because I think that once the host dies, the symbiont is pretty much doomed.
Yes.
It's toast as well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's toast. Slug toast.
Slug on toast. Nice.
Slug on toast. But this kind of confirms that Curzon is not like Jadzia in this case. Yeah. Even though, you know, different brain patterns and all that kind of stuff.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So it is, we're on to Act 4.
Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo, was that?
Yes, mm-hmm. It was not a...
The other one.
The other one.
Julian Bashir takes the stand to explain the biological connection and interdependence between the symbiont and the host of a Trill. He insists that the two individuals are very different, eventually citing that their brainwaves are unique. However, upon questioning from Tandro, he is forced to admit that if the symbiont's brain could be isolated, there is no evidence of a change in its activity when it changes host. Defeated, Julian sits down.
Yeah, well, that proves that there are two different creatures, the host and the symbiont.
But that is no proof at all, because we already knew this. The argument here is we know that Curzon and Jadzia are two different individuals. We know that the host and the symbiont itself are different individuals. But the one thing that is common between Jadzia Dax and Curzon Dax is Dax.
Yes.
So this is where the argument comes in.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Sisko himself then takes the stand to be questioned by Major Kira, and he talks about his long-lasting friendship with Curzon Dax and his new friend, Jadzia. He points out Curzon's mentoring role, but his less than ideal habits. He also says he doesn't know Jadzia that well, yet. Elon interjects to say that, as a Starfleet officer, he must agree that crimes need to have punishment. The Arbiter calls for a recess before Dax is to take the stand.
Yeah. Sisko did well in his, the testimony?
That's yeah. Very clever of him to call Kira to represent him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I usually like how do you call that? Shows about laws and tribunals and stuff like that.
Procedural dramas, yeah.
Nice to, procedural, as what you said. And I like to have that in a Star Trek episode because it mixes two genres that I like. So it was fun.
In the absence of Data acting as Sherlock Holmes, yes, it is good to see that.
Mandy, there's one. There is a jury one in TNG, isn't there, called the Drumhead, where they feel that there's a conspiracy going on the Enterprise, and the judge is kind of just goes completely crazy, seeing conspiracy theories here, there, and everywhere. And it's quite an interesting one too.
And the most popular jury of them all, the first one, the one with Q.
Oh yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
And we now know that the what did you say? The trial never ends.
The trial never ended. No.
The trial never ended. Yeah. Looking forward to Picard season two.
Definitely.
Yes. Very much so. It's going to be great. There's a trailer out. I've not seen it yet.
Yeah, I have.
Soon afterwards, Sisko receives a message from Odo during a recess that he has discovered evidence of an affair between Dax and Adina, giving Dax a solid motive for the murder.
Of course.
Boom.
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 Now we know.
Yes, we know a lot of things now.
Yeah. Curzon is a swine.
A bounder and a cad. Yes, he was.
And a traitor and a murderer to boot.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously answering pretty much every question that's been asked so far, but the one thing that did stand out for me was the fact of how Inina reacted when Odo told her that Curzon had died. She seemed really distraught about it, and now obviously this is the reason why she reacted that way. Because they have history.
Yeah. There is something between them.
Yes.
There was.
There was, yes. So, final act of the episode then, Act 5. Odo goes back to Inina, who admits the affair. When he asks her how her husband reacted, she replies cryptically that her husband was not the hero in life that he became in death. She tells him that Ardalon will always be remembered as a hero, and that it is her place to never remarry and carry on as the brave widow representing him always. However, faced with the situation, she decides that it's time for her place in history to change.
Yeah, so we start to realize that maybe the hero was just another ordinary man, and that in fact his death, just it's only in death that he was turned into a hero.
Right.
It sounded like he wasn't much of a husband. So I mean,
either
he could have been.
It sounds like he wasn't much of anything.
No, I mean, he could have just been, a military man, and it didn't he wasn't really a family man or anything like that from what Inina stated. So, and that's the reason probably why, the affection of Curzon was much appreciated, and So,
the veil is lifted.
Indeed it is.
Indeed.
Although it does raise a question, and I cannot remember where it is said, so I shall save it for later.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Sisko confronts Dax with this new knowledge. She doesn't deny it, but still won't go into greater detail about it, and she will not defend herself with the revealed truth. Sisko even goes as far to suggest that Elon could be Curzon Dax's son. She feels... Yeah, exactly. I'm like, whoa! She feels the shame of Curzon's indiscretion, just like any Trill symbiont always feels the guilt of past crimes or failings. Sisko is again frustrated, at one point drawing his fist to lash out at Curzon before checking himself. He promises to continue protecting one of his officers, as Curzon once taught him, even though his arguments are now running out.
Yeah, so that answers one of our questions, when Jadzia says that she feels the guilt of Dax, of Curzon Dax, or... Well, Dax, actually, as any Trill would do for past, what did she say? Past crimes and or failings.
Past crimes and failings, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely shows...
Yeah, so probably the symbiont cannot decide to just hide something to the hosts.
No, maybe not. It certainly shows the frustration of the whole situation. I mean, here's, you know, Sisko trying to pull out the stops to solve and rescue Jadzia, and Jadzia's just saying, look, just let it go. It's not your problem. It's something, you know, that is going to get resolved. You know, the what she feels is the honourable, proper way to make sure that Commander Leader Tandro is, you know, honoured the way that he is a hero, you know, and that shouldn't be tainted, because what would happen if that was, you know, somebody's character was, you know, then destroyed, you know, how would that then affect the rest of the people on Calestron? Would they go back into civil war again if one of their war heroes wasn't exactly the person that they fought?
But I don't see how that would affect it, because the secret that Jadzia appears to be keeping is the same secret that Inina is keeping, is in that Inina had an affair. This shouldn't have any impact on the standing of Alendro.
No.
No, but it would.
She's hiding the...
It would, yeah, though.
Because...
She is still, revered by the people because of her being his wife. Yeah?
Yeah, so this would happen...
Statements in this... If she came out and said, oh, but no, you know, he wasn't the best husband, and I went to the affections of another person, then...
It still doesn't necessarily need to come out on him. She's the one with the indiscretion.
Usually, yeah, of course, she's revered by the people as a hero's wife, yeah? And if it's ever... If ever a hero is... tainted in any way, whether it be an indiscretion of a wife or proof that he was, you know, well, not the hero he was supposed to be, then, you know, people's beliefs in that person can be completely blown. And if there's an awful lot of them, then societies could be damaged.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah, no, totally. I get it now. I hadn't considered the fact of her indiscretions could actually reflect on Alendro's memory. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the reason why she's saying it's about time that I sort of came out of all of this. And,
yeah.
You know, even though, you know, we don't know how Calestron is going to be affected by all this, because it's not addressed, but, you know, she's doing it to save Jadzia, of course.
Yeah. Well, there's no reason the conclusion of this hearing that we're going to have in a moment goes outside of Deep Space Nine. You know, once we know what happened, it's just a hearing, a Bajoran hearing. It does no reason for that information to go back to her planet with her. So even if she reveals everything for the hearing, it might not be a public revelation.
Possibly.
Right. We will just not know, will we?
No, we will never know. That's why we can invent our own happy
hypotheses.
Yes.
With unicorns and stuff like that.
Alicorns, yes.
Alicorns, that's it.
When the hearing resumes, Sisko establishes Jadzia's academic achievements and psychological testing, as well as her physical and emotional capability of becoming a Trill host. Though Elon counters that she accepted the responsibility of joining with the symbiont, including past crimes. Just then, Inina enters the courtroom, much to Elon's shock.
Mom?
Mom?
Ma?
Inina tells the court that when the alleged transmission was sent, Curzon Dax was in her bed, and therefore could not have sent it. I just imagine Elon wanted to go, la 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 la.
Oh, this is it. He backed off. As soon as she went round and she went to touch him to say, look, you know, I love you, son, he backed off. So yes. Whether it's sort of like, how dare you, mother, or how dare you have, or how dare you have, you know, slept with another man, or how dare you have, you know, destroyed, you know, the belief of my family, you know, the, and everything. Yeah. Hence my comment earlier. So, yeah, just that little action there made you think, you know, it's all going to hell in a handbasket or whatever.
No, basically, yes. The Arbiter tells Elon he may want to re-examine his evidence for the extradition request and leaves. The question of whether a Trill is responsible for the crimes of its past hosts is now left unanswered.
Yeah. And so they're going to go through that all over again next time there's the same situation.
Does it happen again?
But I don't know. But he didn't send the message. So there was no crime to answer for.
Correct. Which is probably why the whole thing of this has just been thrown out of court, hasn't it? So there's it's not a court, but you know what I mean. So I think this is probably the reason why we were saying earlier on that it's unlikely that any of this information, any of the things that Aninia said are ever going to get outside the station, outside the hearing, in fact.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It would cause a lot of disgrace, I think.
I think so.
So maybe they will keep it hush hush.
Mm. Well, the Arbiter just seemed to happy to get out of there. She just went bang with a gavel and walked out, so she doesn't care. She's forgotten already.
Yeah, I think at the beginning she said she wanted to be back for supper. So.
Well, for the first time in a long time, I have a quote of the week, or quote of the fortnight, or quote of the episode, or whatever we want to call it. It was such an absolutely on-point quote from Arbiter Renora. She said, "Lieutenant Dax, you're either 200 years older than I am, or you're about the same age as my great-granddaughter. At first I wondered which of those you were, and now I'm bothered by the likelihood that you may be both."
Yeah, that's a brilliant quote. Yeah.
It's like fantastic. That. I love it.
And that's a very true observation, that she is actually both.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, she is. But does that then mean that Renora has never encountered Trill before?
Which is possible.
Yeah, totally possible.
Yeah, Bajor are a spacefaring race, but have been suppressed for 50, 60, 70 something, years, haven't they? Yeah. Because of Cardassian occupation. So, yeah, might well be a possibility that they've never met Trills before.
After the hearing is over, Jadzia and Inina walk together along the upper level of the promenade. Jadzia says there is so much of Curzon that is still a part of her, including the desire to protect the reputation of Dax's old friend, General Tandro. Sadly, Inina supposes the truth will remain unknown forever, that it was General Tandro himself who sent the coded message attempting to betray his own people, and that the rebels killed him for the favour. So there's the truth.
Yeah. So he was in fact a traitor and he turned into a hero.
Right. Of course, you'd want to keep that quiet because that would end up coming back on you.
Indeed.
But again, I still don't see how the revelation of an indiscretion would have necessarily caused that truth to come out. There's no reason why that would have had to have been mentioned.
No.
Which is, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Inina bids an affectionate goodbye to Jadzia, telling her to live her life to the fullest. Inina touches Jadzia fondly on the face, evoking a memory from Curzon's past. And I thought that, totally. I thought that was a gorgeous ending. A very, very touching ending.
Yeah.
Very, very nicely done.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
So that is it. That is the end of the episode. Ro, come to you first. What are your opinions on the episode?
I love Trills. They're so sort of, I don't know, they're so diametrically opposing, sort of they are so contradictory in their own kind of skin, if you know what I mean. And Jadzia as a character, I mean, this is still the first season of DS9. This is the very first episode you really get to know Dax in a lot of ways. Really comes out really well in this. And of course, the character flourishes. I mean, Terry Farrell is a great actress in her own right, even though she's not done a huge amount since DS9. I just love Trills, hence the reason why I actually requested this episode.
Indeed you did, yeah.
I do like the sort of character development stories in the first sort of two seasons of DS9, because there are quite a few characters in DS9, isn't there, compared to TNG in a lot of ways. And even, Miles O'Brien becomes flushed out as a quite a big character. Not in this episode, obviously, because he's not in it.
Not in it at all.
I just love these sort of character development episodes. And, Dax is definitely one of my favourites. Even though, Curzon is considered a complete cad in this.
You could equate that to other well-established characters within the Star Trek universe.
True. Very true. Kirk being one, I suppose, really.
Well, I was going to say Riker, but I suppose Kirk,
Riker, Kirk.
More so.
Don Paris. Dr. Julian Bashir.
Well, Julian in training. He's got a lot to learn about being, as Tartish as the other ones, because he's got no clue. There's no subtlety in.
But he's trying.
June.
He's trying.
He is that. Yes. Yannick, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked this episode too. As I said earlier, I liked the. Did you call that procedural?
The police procedural. But we watch a lot of the police crime dramas in this house. So
that mixed both genres, like this quartz kind of thing, and Star Trek. So what's not to love?
Right.
And the subject, Dax, even though she doesn't do much during the episode, you know, just sitting there doing nothing and refusing to get help, but it shows the complexity of being a trail or a host, and it was a great way to develop the character, as we said. Mm. So yeah, I agree with Rose 100%. Great episode, great character development episode. And I have nothing else to add to that.
No, and I don't have much more to add to what you two have said. I think the episode was great. I love Jadzia as a character. I love the fact that she is very enigmatic. You can't read a lot into her. She seems to be this, you know, seemingly happy individual with no drama, no necessary background. And we're starting to dig into the fact that actually there is a huge background there, because it's not just Jadzia's background, it's all the other hosts' backgrounds as well, yeah, that are starting to come to the fore. We had a touch of that when we looked into the transfer of the Trill, of the symbiont, mm-hmm, episode 2, 3. But I, like you two, I love the character building episodes when you start to pick up a little bit of a history of what makes people tick, what makes individuals tick.
Yeah.
But yeah, this episode for me ticked all the boxes. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's these kind of episodes which actually create the attachments that people like us, the Watchers, mm-hmm, have towards those characters. And that's what makes a series last as long as they do. You know, you just look at TNG, 7 seasons, DS9, 7 seasons,
yeah,
Voyager, seven seasons.
Some say 7 too much, but
no, I don't think 7's too much. I
think he's talking about Voyager, right?
Yeah,
I know. But you look at Stargate, Stargate went on for 15 seasons.
15? Yeah. The original Stargate, yes.
The original Stargate was 15 seasons. Then there was a number of spin-offs which lasted a number of seasons as well. You look Atlantis, at ones that's just finished now, Supernatural, for instance, with the Winchester Boys. That's 15 seasons.
Wow.
Because people get attached to those characters so much that they just have to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I agree.
This is one, I mean, I don't know whether we're going to get a chance in T.L. Grey Hot to go through all 7 seasons of DS9.
I'm up for it.
That's the plan. that's the plan.
But, you know, Dax's character throughout the 7 seasons, you know, just blows me away. Every episode that Jadzia Dax is on, you know, it just makes me think that, you know, this character is just perfect. When she departs in season, is it the end of season 6, isn't it? She's not in season 7.
Yes, end of season 6.
End of season 6. It was a shock. And to be honest, I didn't get Ezri at all in season 7. She was ditzy, and I just thought, you know, how did that work? You know, how did they get that character into Dax, and how, you know, Jadzia literally just kind of disappeared.
Completely, yeah.
Yeah, there was no part of Jadzia in Ezri at all, which, you know, really disappointed me in that character towards the end.
And Worf. And Worf was disappointed too.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think they did that, you know, in order to show that Ezri was not Jadzia, and they pushed that to the max, and it was too much.
Yeah. Not that it put me off watching season 7.
No.
You know, and you just know, get to the end of that. The Dax character, didn't work for me on the last season.
They knew it was the last season, and so Ezri only had 1 year to be there. So maybe they didn't flesh her out too much. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about because I've never got that far through DS9. So I have all that to look forward to in about.
Yeah. There's another great DS9 episode where they discover that there is a hidden host. There is a hidden, a hidden host in Jadzia. There's a host that's been suppressed.
Ah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a fantastic episode. It goes right back, goes right to the Trill world, and you meet the other symbionts, you know, in their original, you know, true form and things like this, you know. And yeah, it's a great episode. Well worth watching. You don't have to watch that in any sequence either. You can actually just go straight to that and watch it.
Oh, where's the fun in that? Right, let me have a look through my list and see if you've left me with any trivia at all. Because I think you haven't left me with much. Ractagino, the Klingon coffee, is mentioned for the first time.
No, because we mentioned it 2 episodes ago. I just edited Captish Pursuit, and there was a discussion about Ractagino.
Interesting. It says it was mentioned for the first time. So, okay, that trivia bit's wrong. So,
it's a lie.
It lied. The image of the surface of Clusteron 4 was a reuse of the matte painting for Angel 1.
No, they do that.
You wouldn't think it.
I can believe that.
Reusing mats and sets.
And props.
Just can't believe that at all. Spice Williams, who was one of the kidnappers, she wasn't credited in this episode, but she did appear as Vixis in The Final Frontier, which I think was the Klingon commander that was blown out of the sky by Christopher...
Lloyd.
Lloyd's character. Thank you. Celine Piers, who was the Trill that was... basically the expert witness on behalf of Trill, referred to the ruling body of Trill as the Trillian government rather than the Trill government. It's the only time that phrase has ever been used.
Well, they realised it was a bit weird, maybe. Yeah. You know, so...
But...
Trillian, okay. It,
similar words like Vulcanian... for example.
Yeah.
Because people of Vulcan are called Vulcans.
Mm-hmm.
Not Vulcanians. It's like the use of the word Klingonese. I hate that word.
They were referring to the language?
To the language, yeah.
Yeah.
If people speak Klingon, they don't speak Klingonese. That's just an unnecessary use of noise. Is there anything else? No, I think you mentioned absolutely everything else I had on the trivia side.
Right, so, I've got some bits. I've got another thing about the Dax person. Dax. Did you know that Bill Bailey's son is called Dax?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
No, me neither.
Yeah. So
do you know who Bill Bailey is, Yannick?
Thought I knew, but now that you're asking, I'm going to go. No, I don't.
Bill Bailey is a comedian, a musician,
an explorer. I think, isn't he?
He is now. Yeah, yeah. He's been around doing some exploring, and he's sort of well known for playing quite a ditzy, sort of hippie-ish like character.
He kind of popularized the what's it called?
Theremin.
Theremin, thank you.
Yeah.
I know him because I've seen some videos of him. He's doing stand-up comedy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is hilarious. He's such a funny bloke.
Yeah, he is absolutely brilliant. I've
I know him.
I've seen him three times live, and I actually met him in the White City Apple Store one day.
Ooh. Excellent.
First thing in the morning. I was having one of the girls had broken their phone, and I'd gone in to get the screen replaced. And he was there getting his iPad replaced. His son Dax had gone and thrown it and smashed it.
But he could blame that on one of his previous hosts.
Do you guys know that there was a US version of Red Dwarf?
I had heard about it, yes.
Do you know who played the cat?
Don't tell me it was Avery Brooks. No.
Terry Farrell played the cat in the pilot.
Really?
Before DS9, yeah.
Wow.
I was about to say I don't see how that could work, knowing how Terry Farrell is on DS9, but then again, she's an actor, so I'm sure that she's acting. I've got to get away from the idea that what we see as people as actors and the characters they play are actually the people themselves.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Indeed.
I will have to try and find that pilot episode because I can't imagine. YouTube. I cannot imagine Terry Farrell as a cat.
Yeah. Yeah, she plays cat. They just did the one pilot. Yeah. In fact, they did two pilots, actually, and neither of them went well. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, she plays the cat in that. But she's not done much since except get married to Adam Nimoy, Leonard Nimoy's son, and played a character in a TV series called Renegades, which oddly enough seems very much like Star Trek. Has a confederation rather than a federation, and is directed by Tim Russ, who is Tuvok in Voyager.
Okay.
It stars Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov, Nichelle Nichols, who played
Uhura,
Robert Beltran, who played Chakotay in Voyager, Cyric Lofton, who it was Jake in DS9.
Jake Sisko, yeah.
And the sorely missed, because he passed away in 2019, Aaron Eisenberg, who played, of course Nog in DS9. That TV series is it's a independently funded sci-fi web TV series called Renegades. And I've seen a couple of episodes. It's pretty good. I like it.
I've seen the pilot, the first one. She also played in a series called Baker with Ted Danson that we've seen on CSI Cyber and CSI the original one?
The Las Vegas.
Crimes.
Las Vegas. Crimes and Investigation, yes.
Yeah. But those were only sort of like singular one character episodes, weren't they? They weren't sort of like a full-on, fully fledged.
Oh, I think I remember in Baker she was in every episode.
Oh, yeah, for that, but not in CSI or anything like that.
Oh, no, not in CSI.
Yeah. Well,
but
actually,
certainly not as prolific as any of the others in Star Trek and things like that.
No. I just found another bit of another bit of trivia on Spice Williams, who played one of the kidnappers. You may not know this, but she she's a bodybuilder and a vegan, if that matters to anybody.
Why not?
Exactly. And she married Gregory Crosby, who is the first grandson of Bing Crosby and half-brother of Denise Crosby.
Ah, right.
Wow. All right.
And this is a huge revelation to me, because I had no idea that Denise Crosby was actually an indirect descendant of Bing Crosby.
No, I didn't know that either.
The clue's in the name, but I just didn't associate the two.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say that being half-brother, whether it would be a direct descendant of Bing Crosby or joined by marriage, so... Oh, no, granddaughter. Yeah, granddaughter of Bing Crosby and former daughter-in-law of Blake Edwards.
Well,
wow.
6 degrees of...
Yeah, well,
of,
exactly.
How do you call that? 6 degrees of...
well, Kevin
of
Bacon.
Relationship between...
Yeah, 6 degrees of of Michelle, of Denise Crosby.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so if that's all we've got to talk about with regard to this particular episode, then we shall end our review of Deep Space Nine, Season 1, Episode 8, Dax.
So, after this review of this this wonderful episode, I believe that Ro has something for us to discuss. So,
well,
over to you, Ro.
I was looking through my books, and I found this, which is the definitive Star Trek trivia book. And I'm going to have to post it to you.
Yeah.
Dave. Not you, Yannick. Sorry, mate. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be rather cool if we actually had two or three questions out of it?
Ooh.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So, seeming as we are in DS9, let's go for some... DS9 questions, shall we? Shall we do
it?
Do we want to go general or do we want to go by character?
You choose. You have the chair.
Whatever you want, yeah.
You have
Dave's
the con.
I've only seen a few episodes and I have seen Deep Space Nine a long time ago for the last time, but we'll try our best.
And I've only seen eight episodes.
I'm just trying to have a dig through to see. I mean, seeming as we are still only in the first season, really. I want to try and get a couple of questions in relationship to the first season. Okay. Let's have some for characters.
Yes.
Right, we'll have one for Ben Sisko.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of Sisko's first wife?
Ooh, surname of her first wife. Nope, I don't have that.
Her name was mentioned in the very, very first episode of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
I know, because she was in the flashbacks, wasn't she?
Yeah, when they meet on the beach.
Is it Julia or something like that? No.
No. Jennifer. No.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
I was close.
Okay, let's have... We've just had a Ben Sisko one. Let's have an Odo one. Ha 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 ha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, where was Odo discovered? That should have been brought up in the past few episodes.
In the Gamma Quadrant?
So, you've got multiple choice here. You've got A, on Bajor, B, on a comet, C, in the Dinoris Belt, or D, in the Badlands.
In the Badlands.
Dave?
I'm trying to remember where the Dinoris Belt was. It wasn't in the Gamma Quadrant, was it? Go.
Ah, no.
Because he was definitely discovered in the Gamma Quadrant. Although I don't know whether we've actually established that yet in the chronology. I know we might have picked it up on trivia.
Yes. You have said that in the first episode when they went for the first time. And I know that because I just edited the episode where we talked about that already.
Right.
And he said he wanted to go there because he was found there.
Was in the Dinoris Belt, and it was in the Gamma Quadrant.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I was half right.
Okay, let's go for Let's go for one of my favourite characters, Quark.
Quark.
Quark is the proprietor of a bar, B, a gaming establishment, C, a holosuite arcade, or D, all of the above.
All of the above.
All the above.
Yes, well done.
Well, if you could be the proprietor of Deep Space Nine, you would.
Yeah. Well, it's just that when you answer the first one, I'm like, yep. And then the second one, I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, lastly, let's do one for Judzia. Let's find one which might work well. This one's been mentioned as well. Name the captain of the transparent skull. Name the captain with the transparent skull when whom Jadzia occasionally went out with, dated.
Not a clue.
No?
A transparent skull.
Yeah.
No.
Captain Baudet.
No, wouldn't have got that.
Well, he's been mentioned.
No regrets, I didn't know that.
He has been mentioned in a previous episode.
I don't doubt that for a moment.
And I can't read very many more because it will spoil it for others if they haven't watched
yes.
it.
Yes, yes,
yes. Well, true, no worries, was nice.
Okay, true or false, Jadzia was known to have a sister.
I don't have a clue, but I would
say
that
false, ever established?
Yeah, was established.
That sounds like a trap, so... I want to say false,
I'll say it's probably true.
It's true.
By default.
Well done, Dave.
But what I'll do I'll send this book to you, Dave.
Sure, yeah. It'll probably be
cheaper for me to send it to Dave than it would be to you, Yannick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes, absolutely. No problem.
Then you can sort of do the same thing.
I'm up for that, if Yannick is up for that.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Make it a feature. Not the whole episode, obviously, but we'll...
No. But, it's
bit of got, random trivia.
It's got pretty much... Well, it's... Let me just think.
Are the questions and answers on the same page?
No, they're not. They're in the back, but it's fairly easy.
Ooh, that means I could play as well, then.
Yeah.
It's a volume one.
So, there's lots of sections. There's original series, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, the films, New Life and New Civilizations, Starfleet, Personal Files, Abstract Knowledge. Abstract Knowledge.
What's that?
Abstract Knowledge. Well.
Let's have a look. I've not gone through all of these. You could do a whole quiz night on with this.
Amazon says that it's volume one, so is there a volume two?
No, it is just trivia book. There isn't a volume number on it.
Okay, because it's presented as volume one on Amazon. So. And there is a volume two.
Ooh.
The definitive Star Trek trivia book, volume two, English edition. With Jean-Luc Picard on the cover.
JL.
And a Jemadar.
God, JL, yeah. There's even questions in here. Sort of identify the episode. It's Jean-Luc Picard skips backward and forward through time, encountering Q and a strange space-time anomaly. The last episode of The Next Generation.
Yes. All Good Things.
All Good Things, correct.
Correct.
Well, that wasn't fair.
Well, you are the weakest link, Dave.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
But yeah, there's plenty of stuff in here to keep you going. So
that sounds
I'll
like
get
fun.
Your address off you off you, Dave, and I'll send that to you.
Oh, unless I just get it from Amazon. It's not going to be expensive, is it? It might be cheaper for me to buy it and get it delivered from Amazon than it is for you to send it to me.
It's €5 for the hardcover and €10 for the Kindle.
What?
Ten?
That makes no sense.
Jeez.
€4, that's the used one. It's €14 for the
used Kindle book. One.
Sorry? No, they don't have used Kindles.
No. Oh, dear. Right. Well, then I think we should probably end this and go on to some housekeeping. Well, thank you, as always, to all of you for listening to our show. You can help us spread the love for this podcast by transmitting a secret coded message to a trusted friend. Or if you think that might get leaked to multiple people outside of your circle of trust, well, great, because that's a good thing. But regardless, you can still simply share the address of our website on social media.
Absolutely. Our website is at tlgreyhot.org, where you can find our show notes, our reviews, leave a comment for every single episode in the nifty little comment form that you will find on the show notes.
Nice. And you can drop us an email. Our address is feedback@tlgreyhot.org. We read everything we receive, and we may well read your email out on the show. If you don't want your name to be associated with your email, please do let us know, and we will suppress that information.
We are also on Twitter and Facebook. Our username for both of those services is TEGH Podcast, and we are also on Telegram at t.me/TEGH Podcast, which is the only place you will get the link to our unlisted live stream when I think I remember to tick the box that says it's unlisted. So check out our website and our Telegram group for that secret link.
Ooh. Thanks, as always, to Memory Alpha. We've based our review, loosely, of this week's episode on their work, and this is released under a Creative Commons by Attribution non-commercial license.
And I will add that you have enhanced said review on Memory Alpha with your the fixes you have
submitted. I think that brings my number of edits on Memory Alpha up to 3.
Mm-mm. Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. The rest of the show is released under a Creative Commons by Attribution share-alike license. See our website for details.
This podcast is a part of the Other Side Podcast Network. Check out our website for more of our amazing shows at otherside.network.
Our next episode will be a review of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Season 1, Episode 9, The Passenger.
Mm.
Well, thank you, Ro, once again for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yep.
It means less work for me. So that's great.
You are editing, don't forget.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
It's always great to come and do the show with you.
You know, you just have to ask, and we will arrange the schedule for you to be on the show. And well, hopefully, when we reach the end of this season of Deep Space Nine, we're going to have another extravaganza. So you're sure to be back for at least this episode. Which is going to happen in, 40-something weeks?
Something like that, yes.
Something crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it depends if we manage to catch up with our editing or not.
Well, we are slowly catching up, but it's slowly, very slowly at the moment.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Dave, also for joining us again.
Of course.
This week.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you also to Lainey, Monica, Ajaz, and Nate, and also, as I've been told, Chris, for joining our live chat room. It's always a pleasure to have you in the chat and to be able to exchange with you while we record this show. That's it for this episode. We will be back next fortnight with a whole lot more Star Trek. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. Ciao, ciao.
See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to a member of the Other Side Podcast Network. Find more about our shows at othersidenetwork.com.